Thank you for tuning in to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please subscribe to our weekly Boston Bruins Hockey Talk on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify Podcasts. We'd certainly appreciate it if you give our show a 5-star rating along with a written review. You can also subscribe to our official YouTube channel for a video version of our weekly program. If you'd like to support our show financially, please go to our blackandgoldhockey.com website and click on our affiliated Fanatics banner before shopping online. Another way to financially support our weekly program is to become a Patreon member to be eligible for weekly Boston hockey prizes and monthly Boston Bruins hand-signed jersey giveaways. Please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and donate just $1 per episode. Many thanks for the continued support and enjoy the show.
And this episode number 332 of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast is brought to you by FanDuel.com, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. You can sign up right now at FanDuel.com/Boston and claim your no sweat first bet for $1,000. Here we are on Memorial Day weekend. What a beautiful one it is here. Of course, probably where Grace is. I think every day is a beautiful day. Joined as always by Grace Roberts and Mark Allred. How's everybody doing today?
Doing awesome. Feeling great. Ready to talk some Bruins, even though it's a little bit of a sad time, and ready to watch the Celtics tonight. So it's still a good day for Boston sports, I've decided.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Vacation is officially over as of today, so back to work tomorrow. It was a good one. It was a rough one, let me tell you. A lot of alcohol and barbecue has been consumed. And yesterday, we were supposed to record yesterday. I just was not feeling well at all. Everything caught up to me. So we're doing it a day late. Sorry. And to the listeners that were hopefully you're not working today, but hopefully you'll listen to us tomorrow morning on the way to work or during work or whatever. But we are back and talking bees, as little as news as out there. But still great to get along every week with these two Bruins fans and Steve and Grace. But yeah, good weekend so far. Good. And happy Memorial Day to all out there that serve and protect our country and who have passed on from doing so. That means a lot to me and my family, and I'm sure it does to everybody else on this panel as well. So thoughts go out to the people that currently serve and the ones that have served.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. And I hope everybody keeps that in mind as they're out there barbecuing, drinking, listening to the country music, whatever it is you're listening to. Just keep that in the back of your mind. My son is currently on the back of a town dump truck going through the local parade. So that's exciting. He's all pumped up about that. So
nice.
Yeah, it's a nice time of the year. Official kickoff to summer, which is fantastic. And you know, as summertime gets closer, usually that brings on, we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup finals. And, you know, before we get into the Bruins stuff, here are the Florida Panthers. Somebody mentioned to me that this is 3 out of 4 years where the President's Trophy winner has won the Stanley Cup the year after they won the President's Cup. So if you're looking for a little silver lining there, Bruins fans, there you have it. I guess just real quick around the panel here, do you think three teams left? Does anybody think that the Panthers can take down Vegas or Dallas, or is this they running out of luck here? What do you guys think about the finals coming up?
I think Florida is going to take it all. I number one, I was pulling for Dallas because Dallas hasn't won in a while. I like the teams that don't win all the time, especially when the Bruins are out of it. Then it's just like it's a crapshoot for me. But I like the way the Florida Panthers have played since the first round. They're really bought into playing accustomed to any style that they're seeing as they rise through these playoffs. And now they're in the Stanley Cup Finals, and it's good on them, the coaching staff and ownership and so on. If it comes down to it, I do want to see the Florida Panthers just absolutely stomp all over the Vegas Golden Knights, because again this week, I'm going to say I am not ready for the narrative or the continued narrative of, oh, we should have kept Bruce Cassidy. Oh, we let the wrong one go. It's so stupid, and it's just gaining traction and so on. And it's just going to gain more traction if that guy wins the cup. So I just don't want to see that happening. So go Florida Panthers.
Yeah, I honestly, up until like the other day, I would have said I think the Knights have a really good chance, but suddenly I don't think they're going to have trouble getting past Dallas. I think they're going to. And I love the idea that a team that has never won could win, you know, that's cool. But I don't know, they just haven't looked good their last few games against Dallas, not the way they were looking before that. So I don't see them getting past the Panthers. I don't see anybody doing it. I mean, obviously this has been a really unpredictable sequence of events, and you know, I don't love any of these teams, and there's a reason for each of them why I don't want them to win. But you know, maybe it'll take the sting out a little bit extra for me if the Florida Panthers win, and then it's like, all right, fine, the people who won the Stanley Cup, they beat us. And also because, like, then maybe then that's a thing that whoever won the President's Trophy the year before is gonna win the Stanley Cup, so then next year it'll be our turn. That's what I think.
Yeah, I get that's I love those numbers when I saw them. My only concern for Florida is this too much time off, and they have one of the streakiest goaltenders in the league, and he's hot. And if I'm Bobrovsky, I want to get back in there. I don't want to take 4 or 5 days off. So, you know, I think a lot of this is going to come down to goaltending. Even though he's a former Springfield Falcon, I don't really believe in Aiden Hill. You know, I still think Dallas probably has the best consistent goaltender in the whole thing. Although I don't want Jamie Benn to win, because I just think that guy's, he's like Corey Perry. The later he gets in this career, the more of a D-bag he becomes. you know, and I like Vegas because, you know, again, local ties, Jonathan Marchessault, one of my favorite Springfield players of all time, just a great freaking dude. I'm with Grace. I need the sting taken out a little bit, which I think is why I'm pulling for Florida. I think it's a great story. Vegas will fill their building no matter what. Dallas probably will too. Let's turn Florida into a bit of a hockey market. I think that's good for business. I think that's good all around. I did post something which I found sort of interesting. I never put up polls because, quite frankly, nobody ever votes on them. It's like nothing worse than putting up a poll and not getting any votes. But I did put up one yesterday just randomly. I said, NHL Bruins fans, who would you rather see win the cup? Cassidy, the team that eliminated you, or Tyler Seguin? And in 407 votes, Cassidy with 37%, Florida with 34%, Seguin with 29%. So as somebody who doesn't do a lot of polling, that's damn close. So not a blowout here at all from Bruins Nation. A lot of them are rooting for Cassidy. I think Cassidy's one of those really likable coaches. And, you know, I feel like it's okay to say it was his time for that divorce, but at the same time, still like the guy. Do you know what I'm saying? So I think there's a lot of that there with Cassidy. I think Florida, when they beat you, they're an easy team to hate. So I think that's a lot of reason why Bruins fans might not have gone to Florida. But either way, game 6 tonight between the Knights and the Stars, 8 o'clock. A little warm-up to what before we watch Grace's Celtics hopefully win by about 45 points tonight. We got that to look forward to. Some other things here in the news. Bruins GM Don Sweeney named the finalist for the 2022-23 Jim Gregory General Manager of the Year Award. Obviously, based on the way that the season ended, Grace, do you think that he deserves that award?
I don't know. I go, you know, there were a lot of criticisms that were really valid at the beginning of the season. I think that he sort of got through that. And I think that the trades made at the deadline were crazy productive, exactly what we needed. And we gave up relatively little, at least in the immediate future, what we thought was going to be a Stanley Cup run. We felt confident that these were the players who were going to help us. And to be fair, it was the people on who had been on the team before that I really blame in large part for most of the loss. I obviously think that adding Bertuzzi, seeing a value in him that clearly wasn't being appreciated elsewhere, being able to swing that, being able to swing Orlov and Hathaway. I mean, they were great moves. Clearly they didn't, I don't even want to say that they weren't enough, because I don't think it was that they weren't enough. I think they were exactly what we needed and they were super helpful. But I think that other issues arose that had nothing to do with Sweeney at all and were more Montgomery. But so I don't know. I think he does. Like, I get it. I don't know if he necessarily – I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I think he deserves it. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't win, just because the way the season sort of ended makes it seem like maybe things weren't so great after all.
Yeah, what about you, Mark? What do you think?
I think he deserves it. It's a regular season award. And, you know, what he did during the offseason to bring in a guy like Pavel Zacha, which, you know, wasn't a grand freaking move from many Bruins fans. It was more of a lateral, you know, trading Eric Haller one for one and so on. But, and I'm not saying that that was the move that made him GM, but it was just how the team and how he organized everything moving forward from having McAvoy out and Grizzlick out and just to really start this year off on the highest note that this NHL franchise has ever seen speaks volumes. But it turned up to 11, 12, and 13 on the volume meter when the trade deadline came, because we all know as Boston Bruins fans and longtime, you know, Sweeney apologists, if you will, he's never made a move like this before. So this was management and ownership really seeing what they could have and what they have had in the regular season and what could happen in the postseason. Obviously, a first round exit isn't ideal, but still, everything that he's done during this year to go all in, I think that he's the type of GM that deserves an award like this. And that's not my Boston bias either. There are other GMs that were nominated that are probably worth more, but I don't see them making the moves to make this team successful or be successful in the postseason like the other two did. In the end of the season press conference with management and ownership, they collectively said that we're going behind doors and we're pointing fingers at each other and so on. So I really do not see Don Sweeney being the fall guy or any of Bruins management or ownership. They did what they had to do. Ultimately, I'm going to echo on what Gray said. It was the failure. It was the failure of the players. It was just you had everything on a plate, but it was them and maybe even the coaching just didn't jive together to make things happen.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the GM in Florida, who was obviously getting a lot of talk, and you know, really outside of the. You'd say, well, he only really made one trade, and it was for Matthew Tkachuk. And it's like, well, that really freaking worked, right? So it's like, so, you know, I do give Sweeney credit, because I don't think – I can't remember the last time they were just giving up first-round picks at the deadline for talent. And it was always getting bits and pieces. And that's what we thought this year. We said, well, we'll just get, you know, we'll just get a little, you know, ancillary minor pieces. And then you come back with a top four defenseman and a top six forward. That you invested in. But like you guys said, it's not Don Sweeney did not lose in the first round of the Florida Panthers. The players did and the coaching did. And that to me is not on him. And I think that the further we get from 2015, which we all know was a disaster, although here's Jake DeBrusque, the further we get from that, the further we're realizing that everybody has oopsies every now and then. And that was a massive oopsie by Don Sweeney. But I think we're to the point now, almost 10 years away from that, where it's time to recognize that he's a pretty damn good GM from what we're seeing. Yeah. So,
And even in 2015, it was not a complete loss of the draft. The second through seventh round was still successful. I mean, you lost out on Jesse Gabriel, who had a really bad attitude and just was not made to be a pro hockey player. And Jacob Forsbacher Carlson, Brandon Carlo came out of that draft. Jeremy Lozon came out of that draft. Dan Vladar came out of that draft. So, I mean, it wasn't a complete failure. It was just that particular first round and two of those picks. I think I do like Jacobs Borrell. I just don't think he panned out to where he was supposed to be projected as a first round selection. But Jake DeBrusk, I think after the little speed bump between him and the coach or whatever his situation, I think once that got ironed out, I think we're seeing what we all thought of Jake DeBrusk when he first got drafted right out of the WHL.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And so I think, I think it's well-deserved. Whether or not he wins it is another question, but having his name as a top, whatever, three finalist, I think is pretty well worth it. And, you know, sort of moving on here, as we talked about, now they don't really have a lot of draft picks. I don't think they have a pick in the first two rounds. We look at Bruins prospect, Matthias Mantikivi. Is that how you say that, Mark?
Boom.
Get it? Boom.
Drop that mic, my man.
The guy gets it again.
That's awesome. Everybody I talk to cannot figure out some of these European freaking, and I'm not one for words. Trust me. I'm not one to get out the words very well, but well done, sir.
Well, I try to get the Latvians right because they get really pissed if you get them wrong. So
he's actually Finnish.
I thought he was in Latvia.
Sorry.
You had it.
I'm not even saying it again the rest of the podcast either.
He'll drop a Greg Zannon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I avoided the Greg Zannon talk. We were talking trade deadline just for you, Mark. You brought him up, not me. He's got a deadline of June 1st to be signed. I think you have to sign a guy like this strictly because you don't have any draft picks. And I think that you need as many of these young prospects as you can get because the prospect pool isn't necessarily dry, but the drafting well is pretty dry. So what are your guys' thoughts on a player like this that you have the rights to? And I believe he's going to UMass next season. Is that correct? Am I thinking of a Latvian guy? Is that my problem?
Yeah, Dan's Lukmelis.
That's the guy I'm thinking of. Okay.
Yeah.
Dear God, I'm not even trying that one again. So what do we do here with Matthias Mantikivi?
Grace, you want this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think Steve's right. I think there's no we have so few options and it's so limited in what we can do and make happen in terms of younger players that we sort of have to, I think. And I also, I don't know, I'm sort of the opinion, an optimist at heart, that you really don't know how a player is going to turn out or exactly how, you know, a player is going to end up performing when they're actually in the league. So, I mean, it's not, you know, you're right. It's not a first round draft pick. It's not Connor Bedard. It's not Fantilli, but it's at least something that has potential. And that I think that if you bring into the system early, if you can get somebody who will really buy into it and will work hard to, I think it adds a little chip on your shoulder if you think that you have to fight for your spot and you have to earn it. So I think that it, just with any prospect, there's an opportunity for a lot of growth. And I think that with no other options, I don't think there's any room to be really critical of picking anybody up like that.
So he's been playing for the Ives League over in the Liga, Finnish League. And has done well the past couple seasons. Every year he seems to progress a little higher and higher, gaining more respect overseas. And he wants to be a Boston Bruin. He wants to be in the organization somewhere. He's not just throwing out there, I'm going to go to the NHL or bust. He wants to be a part of the Providence Bruins, and he wants to be a part of the developmental process in his first year of pro hockey. But that comes down to the logistics with the Boston Bruins and where they see him in a future lineup and so on. But I really think that if they let him walk now, let me just iron this out. I'm not saying this guy is a 50 goal scorer over in the Finnish league and he's going to be top 6 minutes in the NHL anytime soon, but these are the types of players in the bottom six that the Boston Bruins have developed very well. And when they develop them very well, they also come at a very cheap value. So, and I'm not saying he's a cheap player either, but what I'm saying is you, and like Steve mentioned, we don't have a first and second round pick this year. We don't have the first, second, or third round pick next year. So it's going to be some very lean years when you're trying to add depth to the organization, regardless of where they're currently playing in the world. But Matias Mantikivi is the type of player that could be that bottom six guy. He's got some offensive capabilities. He's a good puck tracker, good along the boards, gets in the dirty areas, but it's still going to take him a little bit of time to adjust to the North American game, much like Fabian Lysell did. Everybody had this kid in the lineup day one last year, and they were frustrated when they see his numbers and he's not getting in. Well, I'm sorry, but Fabian Lysell needs to work on his two-way game. His defensive game needs work. When he has the puck, he is very good. But Mantikivi is the type of player that can come in and just offer you the break glass in case of emergency, a two-way deal. He's probably not going to get any pro games anytime soon, but still, you have him in the depth. He kind of reminds me of a smaller Yuna Kopanen, a really good penalty killer. You know, with, like I said, with some offensive capabilities, and he's a good forechecker and so on. I say give him a chance. It's really a low risk, high reward type of scenario. And I really don't understand why, with so many contracts that the Boston Bruins have right now, as I look on to puckpedia.com, the contracts right now are 28 of 50. So I think as free agency comes closer and the draft comes closer, I think that that number is going to get a little higher to the 50, but I think there's still a little bit of availability for a player like him to get involved. I just don't understand why the Bruins are waiting so long to get this type of deal done.
Yeah, 12 points in 12 playoff games. That's sort of the number I look at more. I mean, he had 33 points in 60 games in the regular season, but 12 and 12 in the playoffs to me is a nice sign. It's a good number. That means that he's playing a lot and he's producing. So, yeah, I get concerned that we've seen so many of these guys come over. You know, we can go to, you know, Petteri Nokalainen and you know, up and down the list of these guys that are kind of tweeners. And, you know, even I look at Jacob Lauko, it's like either use them or lose them. But like, you know, Yuna Kopanen, use them or lose them. Like they come over and they sit in Providence, and then before you know it, they're playing in, you know, again, they're playing in Latvia or they're playing for the Manitoba Mooseheads. So you know, it's, but I like you said, I think you got to load up on these guys, college free agents. That's going to be the way that they sort of run their operations for the next couple of years, just because the draft picks are so slim, unless you start making some trades. Now, we have heard this rumor sort of narrative floating around that Marchand could be traded, could be an asset, at least two full seasons under contract. That's 6.1 AAV. So at this point, the contract actually looks pretty nice if you're a, you know, if you're looking to acquire a player like that. Personally, I think that that guy is too much of a staple here. And I think that there are too many other guys that could be moved. Your Taylor Halls, you know, your Linus Ullmarks. I think that there's a small core here that you don't move, and I think that he's sort of one of those. What are your thoughts on this, Mark, and some of the things that you've heard regarding
I mean, it's just a narrative that's basically going out on Twitter and so on and the social media, and I don't know if I'm buying it completely. And also to touch on your thought of maybe Taylor Hall being available, and I understand that salary cap needs to be shed to be compliant before next season. And I already know that we're $4.5 million in the hole due to the contracts of Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci last year on their one-year deals to come back. I don't think that the Bruins would be wise to move any of the forwards that are currently under contract for the upcoming season. Just for the pure fact is that they're the most experienced on here, and we don't know how the salary cap's going to work and how they're going to manage it. So I think by having as many veterans as possible, I'm not saying bringing the band back together, but as many veterans as possible on the team is good, because it looks like to save those salary cap funds, you might have to you know, promote some younger players from Providence as well who are on cap-friendly AAVs. So You want to have that leadership there. We can't go all young. I mean, as much as I'd love to, we can't go all young. You got to have a mixture of vets and so on. But I think Marchand's got more to give. I think this year he played well with double hip surgery.
Yeah, it hurt.
And
right.
I think that, yeah, and I think the summer, I think it's going to, just increase that, the healing process and so on. Because I've said several times on this podcast, when somebody has a hip surgery or double hip surgery, never mind, it really takes a full year to be healthy. And that's off the ice. That's not doing anything. So with him on the ice, he's pretty much operating at 80%. Hopefully this whole offseason gives you the opportunity to get to 100% and come back in and kind of be that that leader on the ice and off the ice, regardless if one of our best leaders in the franchise history is back or gone. I think that he's pretty much the next guy that's in that line of, this is how we preach our system. This is our culture, you know? So I don't see that happening, but who knows? Don Sweeney did say that this team's going to look awfully different next year.
Yeah, and real quick, Grace, it's almost like silver lining that you didn't have a long playoff run, because for a guy like Marchand recovering, these extra months of not playing are actually going to help his healing process. But what are your thoughts on moving the possibility of moving Marchand, Grace?
Yeah, I don't see it. I just don't see that ever happening. I don't think he's a guy that is anybody would want to use as a piece when you have other options available. I agree completely. I think especially, yeah, it's true if Bergeron doesn't come back, because I agree with Mark. I think that needs, if you had asked me, however many years ago it was now, 6, 5, when Chara left and then it came to, who's the next man up? I think it was pretty clear. Like, he wasn't ready to be a captain, at least at that level. He wasn't ready to be, where Bergeron was. But I think we've seen such a transformation of him as a player and as a person. And I think that now he really does exhibit, especially I think in the playoffs, he really exhibited those leadership qualities that are so valuable. And that I think probably a part of it is that he knows that Bergeron might be on his way out and that he's going to be the guy that people look to. And I do think that you're right. I think we didn't see his full abilities post-surgery. I mean, he came back even earlier than we thought. So already, like, you're thinking, he's putting a lot of strain on his body. And obviously he's sort of had his up and down throughout the season. But I think in the playoffs, we started to really see that he is still great. He still has those abilities. He was one of the few players that I really think did everything that they could in the playoffs when it came down to it. And I know everybody's on about, like, oh, that, breakaway that he missed or whatever. And yeah, okay. But I think that he did everything he could to drag this team, to the next round and just fell a little short. But I don't see a world in which he moves. I mean, like, let's be realistic. But, I don't know. Crazier things have happened, but I don't see it happening.
Well, I mean, if somebody's going to throw a whole bunch of first round picks at you, you think about it. But I mean, I don't, you're talking about I think if you make that move, you're talking about a pretty sizable reset on your front end and on your leadership. And those are two things that are kind of tricky to, tricky to flip the switch like that. So we do have some other possible trade chatter happening going on. But first, I want to tell you about our good friends at FanDuel.com. Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now new customers can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. I'll tell you, I love all of these different bonuses and quirks that they give you. Every time I open the app, I got a little notification that's like, hey, we're going to match your offer. And if you lose, that's okay. We're going to give you a kickback. And it's so nice to lose their money rather than lose my own, because I'm terrible at gambling. However, tonight, big one between the Celtics and the Heat. I'm going to take the Celtics -7.5, because I think they're going to absolutely blow doors. And I'm also going to take the over at -204. Because, again, if they're blowing doors, they might score 130 points tonight. But, Grace, what about you? I know you love the Celtics.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to – I'm feeling great. I feel phenomenal. This is the best I've felt in weeks. I think the Celtics are going to absolutely beat down the Heat, knock on wood. I'm feeling confident. I'd take that bet any day of the week. I refuse to bet on the Celtics, though, because every time I did that, they absolutely lost. So I'm not going to do that again, because then it would be my fault.
Take the Heat.
Take the Heat. See, that's what I sometimes do. But no, I cannot wait to watch. So anybody who's following me along on Twitter will see me freaking out the whole time. But those are, hey, I'd bet on the boys. I really would. I have faith in them. So what can I say?
Mark, you got any golf you're looking at this week or next
Absolutely.
Week?
Starting on Thursday, the 1st of June, the PGA is at the Memorial Tournament at Muirfield Village Golf Club. $20 million purse on that. And of course, I'm going to get involved. And also any of the NHL playoff hockey that's on this week, I'm going to get on. I'm not doing very well with the bets, so kind of need a turnaround here on the FanDuel account.
Agree. I do as well. So that's what I'm hoping for tonight. There's no better way either way to place your bet on all the playoff action than America's number one sports book. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston. Get a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. It's FanDuel.com/Boston. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 in select states. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with the Kansas Star Casino LLC. If you have a gambling problem, plenty of help all over the country. You can call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT-STEP to 53342 if you live in Arizona. 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in the great state of Connecticut. Great. Great state. Sure. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas. 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana. GamblingHelplineMA.org. GamblingHelplineMA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support here in the great state of Massachusetts. And you can visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369 in New York. And if you are in Wyoming, 1-800-522-4700 or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. You can do that in the state of West Virginia as well. So big thank you to our friends at FanDuel. And also we have some great sponsors at Action Electronics as well. For over 30 years, Action Electronics, a Walpole Mass company, has been the leading source of value-added time-saving supply chain solutions. You can visit them online at actionelectronics.com. You can give them a call as well at 508-668-3131 and follow the company's social media accounts. On Facebook, they're at Action Electronics. Twitter, AE Supply Chain, or Instagram, they're at actionelectronics.com. But we all know how it works. You just put into Google Action Electronics and everything will pop right up there for you, as including their YouTube channel, which is at Action Electronics TV. So big thanks to that wonderful local company, Action Electronics, for the support. And as always, FanDuel as well. I want to talk about, Mark, you mentioned briefly there for a second, getting the band back together. It's a player who just finished up getting a gold medal for Canada at the World Championships. A man that some call Milan Lucic. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Grace? You want Milan Lucic back? Playing on that fourth line or what?
Milan Lucic. I know that is just the talk that won't die. It really won't. No, I don't know. I guess no. I don't really have a good answer because on the one hand, I'm like, it's a cheap, I think he'll be a cheap option. But also, I don't really see that as like much of an addition. I don't think that Lucic is great and was great always playing for us, but is he really filling any role that we desperately need? I mean, I granted, you know, if we drop off, you know, certain players, I mean, I don't know. I'm not, there are some people on Twitter who are really, really into the idea. And then there are people on Twitter who are so out on the idea that I think they'll stop cheering for the Bruins if he comes back. But I don't know. I'm fine either way, I guess, as long as there's something productive that comes out of it. Either we're saving a ton of money for it or we're, you know, I don't know. I say no. I don't want him back. He can go somewhere else. But I do love him. He's a great player, you know.
I'm out on this narrative. I get the nostalgia theory of it, you know, and I think that what happened in the playoffs is something that a lot of people see, and we need toughness and so on. You know what, if Lucic can put in 30 goals and 120 penalty minutes, I'm all for it. But I'm not for a player anymore that is just, you know, his notoriety is just a beaten ass, you know. I don't like the goon idea. I don't like the enforcer idea. I think that the Boston Bruins do have some complementary pieces that can fill that physicality and at a higher level of speed. I think Milan has slowed way down. And even like Grace said that, you know, it's going to be a cheaper deal because he is coming off of a $6 million deal with Calgary. They probably get a vet minimum, but I think even those minimum funds should be allocated to what you need to do moving forward. Now, if this is a rebuilding team with a bunch of rookies on it and you needed a guy like that, I would absolutely bring him in for a year, see how it goes. But this is a team that has seven forwards already locked up into next year and a laundry list of players that need to be negotiated with. Either it's a unrestricted free agent or a restricted free agent. I don't think the idea of bringing him back is great. I just think it he's slower, he's older, and so on. And I get the whole we're not getting the first 4 years of Milan Lucic back, folks. Just forget that. And the last 4 years in Boston were one of the reasons why he was moved, because he was just his production was going down. So it was a good time for him to move. I just don't see a fit here, to be honest with you. And I'm not one that's going to be like, well, he beats ass. That's just not enough for me. You know, I mean, back 20 years ago, I would have been that guy. I said, yeah, let's get him. He play 5 minutes on the ice and just kick shit out of everybody. That's great. But no, I want tougher players to be multi-skilled in other areas, like speed and skill. You know, like you could shoot the puck until one. I know Milan's got a decent shot, but it's just a bad idea, in my opinion. I don't see it happening.
My fear with bringing him in is that you are taking roster spots away from younger players. So, like, I would rather see Jacob Lauko there because he's younger, faster, has more potential. It would suit him better for 3-4 years down the road. I mean, again, 7 goals, 12 assists last year for Lucic. I love the nostalgic thing. If he agrees that he's only going to play 25-30 games and play spotty minutes, maybe I consider it. However, there is something I find borderline arousing about the idea of Hathaway, Beecher, Milan Lucic as your fourth line. Talk about USDA certified lean beef. That is what you'd have on that fourth line. Nobody would even think about doing anything stupid on the ice if you had those three out there. So right, there's the part of it about it like that gets you excited, but in the reality, you're taking away funds, like you said, Mark, and chances are you're taking a roster spot away from a younger player like Lauko, who quite honestly deserves it. And if he doesn't, imagine how pissed off Lauko. I mean, Lauko is already pissed off this year. Imagine if you're like, hey, Jacob, sorry, we're filling your roster spot with a 34-year-old Milan Lucic. He'd be pissed. He'd want to trade. Yeah. He'd want to get out of here. And I can't say I'd blame him. Grace, anything else on Lucic? No?
No, I think that that's all fair. I also really like Jacob Lauko, so I would love to see him get the opportunity to sort of show his worth or continue to show his worth, because I think he has to a certain extent. Maybe not as much as I think he is capable of. You're right, probably some of that frustration about going down, but I don't know. I think that it's just a safer, cheaper, better option and looks better in 3-4 years time. So, but you know, you're right, that line does sound very electric, a Beecher and in the middle with a Hathaway and a Lucci.
I was just gonna use the words I use. Yeah, I wish I had a soundboard because I was going to put the boing up there. Grade A certified beef and aroused and all that. I was like, holy shit, where are we going now?
It's getting hot in here all of a sudden. All right, so one more possible return that you brought up, Mark, that I find this one actually a little bit more interesting and possibly a little bit more realistic. A guy that had 27 games, a 2.91 goals against, 895 save percentage. If you are going to move Ullmark, which I think they should, do we think about bringing back a guy like Dan Vladar, who's making $2 million and has 2 years remaining on his current contract with Calgary?
I like the idea. Just for the fact is that Vladar was a 2015 third round pick by the Boston Bruins.
He Another knows good the goaltender. That draft.
Exactly. And he knows the goaltending coaches. He knows Dunham. He knows Asenza. He knows the organization. He knows many players here. And I'm not saying that Ullmark to Calgary is an option. What I'm saying is if Ullmark is moved to any of the 31 teams in the league, that frees up a little bit of $5 million on the AAV. But if the Boston Bruins don't want to go with the rookie route of Brandon Bussey in his NHL rookie season as a backup, and they want to go with experience, a little bit of experience, I would honestly look at Calgary, talk to new Calgary Flames GM Craig Conroy, see if there's a deal that could be worked out, because the Boston Bruins still have this year's third round pick, and that could be moved. That could be in play if you want to move that and maybe a sweetener. I'm not sure if Mike Riley is going to move the needle. I'm not sure if anybody else that they're trying to stash down in Providence is going to move the needle, because they're not playing consistent time in the NHL and their AAV is kind of ridiculous. Like, I was looking at Puckpedia this morning, prepping up for the show, and believe it or not, Mike Riley's real money is going to be $4 million. That is $1 million up from last year on his AAV. So his AAV is still going to be three something, but in real money, he's going to get one more million. So I'm not sure if that's going to be an attractive sweetener per se. But what could be is somebody that's currently under contract that is close to the July 1st free agency that might be traded along to Calgary and have Craig Conroy and his staff negotiate a contract, before free agency. I could see that happening. Mm. But I just like the idea of bringing Vladar back. I know he's worked with Jeremy Swayman before. Hopefully the goalie hug does not happen if this happens. I'm really sick of that. I'm done with the goalie hug. We need to move on to the traditional headbutt and a pat.
You have no soul, Mark.
You're damn right. I don't.
Come on.
No,
I don't endorse that opinion. I don't.
I know. I just see this being a really good move. I really do not want to take any chances on, bringing back a guy like Keith Kincaid or anybody like that. I want to get a little bit younger, but also I think that Dan can offer something that he couldn't in Calgary. And obviously that's a better core out front and a defenseman and a better support system, around the crease. And that would be purely as a backup. I think that I think Jeremy Swayman's been in the league long enough that he could take the 1A role and play 50 games, and then possibly give a guy like Vladar, who has a little bit of tenure in the league, 32 games. So, and I think that they work well, even if you had to do a tandem in the playoffs. Who knows? But I just like the idea of the familiarity that both sides have in a deal like this. And there's probably going to be goaltenders out there that are much better than that. But the reason why I brought this up, and I'm also writing an article on the blackandgoldhockey.com website about this, is Dustin Wolf is a really good young goaltender. And right now, he is primarily playing in the American Hockey League. He's on an entry-level contract, so he can go up and down. But Craig Conroy has said several times, the GM of the Flames, that this kid needs to play, and he needs to play consistently. So I honestly think that Dan Vladar is going to be the one that's going to be pushed out of the Flames organization, because they currently have Jacob Markstrom, who's currently has 3 years remaining on his contract at $6 million. Oh. That contract is not going to be easy to move for a new GM. I don't know who else is going to bite on that, but unfortunately, I just see that Vladar is going to be the one that's forced out. And I think that the Boston Bruins should take a flyer on it, at least make a call on it,
yeah.
At least entertain the idea. I mean, the $2 million, it's actually $2.2 million, but still, I think that if you can get and we'll talk about contracts later, but if you can get Vladar at 2.2 and possibly Jeremy Swayman at 2.5, you're still under $5 million, just as you were last season and the year before that with Allmark and Swayman. So yep. More of the funds are not going to go to the goaltending aspect of it. It's going to go to where you actually need to address these issues.
Yeah, Grace, you want Dan Vladar back?
I honestly, yeah. I mean, there are no good options. I mean, no, you wish. I, unlike Mark, have a heart and a soul and want Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark to be together and continue to do the goalie hug. But it hurts to say that, like, it makes sense to get rid of Ullmark because I'm still so pissed. I feel like there was such wasted potential in the playoffs not using them both. And so I'm super frustrated. And the part of me is like, give it another go, because now we know, like, let's make it work. It's okay. But I just think it's so much. We need to make space. We need to make room. And Vladar is a fairly cheap option and is, I think, a good option. And you're right. I think that Jeremy Swayman has earned that top spot. You know, on any other team, he would have been if Linus Ullmark wasn't playing Vezina caliber hockey. I mean, so I'd be okay with it. I think it frees up space, gives us more breathing room where there's just none right now. So I'd be okay with it. I don't want to get crucified by people on Twitter for saying that we should get rid of Linus Ullmark. It's going to hurt no matter what. We're getting rid of people we like. And I just think that's probably a good option.
Trust me. You're safe. I'm the one that doesn't like the goalie hug, so I'm the one that's going to be attacked.
Well, I mean, I'll say
I'm going to attack you on Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, for one, I'm good on Linus Ullmark. They trade him tomorrow. I won't bat an eye because of the contract and because of the lack of proven playoff success, which was my biggest worry coming into the series too, and he still hasn't proven it. I will also say, I like the goalie hug and I want the goalie hug because that means that the goalies are happy. And yeah. If we know anything about, with all due respect, Grace, this new generation of young person, if they're not happy and if you're mean to them and you're not treating them with kid gloves, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, then they get pissy. They get pissy. And what happened? Why did Bruce Cassidy leave? Because he was mean to Jakey DeBrusk and because he was mean to Brandon Carlo and they were so mean. And with that in mind, Swayman clearly has something here with Ullmark. It's not just that they play together. They're buddies, they're pals, and you're going to strip Jeremy Swayman of his best friend. So let's bring in a guy that he does know that he is. First of all, let's ask little Jeremy. Jeremy, are you friends with Dan? Can you guys get along? Let's ask him first because we got to get the emotional side of it. If it's something that Swayman is okay with, I think that's good because I think that kind of chemistry in the locker room and off the ice is important. And if this is a guy that Swayman is okay with, and again, I'm not even saying that Swayman is this emotional softball like some of the other guys might be. But you are stripping him of his best friend. So let's try to bring in somebody that maybe he's, you know, can have a cohesion with. So maybe we do have goalie hugs because that's what Jeremy wants. You know, let's keep Jeremy happy. I don't know. But again, I still think that's why Cassidy's gone, is they had hurt feelings. And Grace, I do think that's why Joe Mazzulla is here, because if you get rid of Joe Mazzulla, then Tatum's going to be like, oh, that's my buddy, Joe Mazzulla. Of course, now we're talking basketball, and that's going to – Mark's just going to tune right out. So let's not do any more of that. So, Mark, you were talking about the AFP analytics, and they were giving specific contract projections for certain players. I talk about head going sideways. Math gives me an ice cream headache. Same but he did have some interesting numbers. Do you have a graphic for that, Mark, that you were going to put up?
I do. Actually, I typed it up on Friday or Saturday or something like that. One of those days that I was inebriated.
Did anybody double check your worth?
This is what I came up with from the great folks at AFP Analytics. Go check them out, afpanalytics.com. So as of right now, they're projecting if unrestricted free agent forward Patrice Bergeron comes back on a 1-year deal, he could get up to $2.5 million per season. UFA forward Tyler Bertuzzi, They're expecting him to get a 6-year deal, $5.2 million per. Nick Foligno, if he does return, he gets a 1-year, $1.1 million per. Garnet Hathaway is a UFA, and they're expecting him to get a 4-year, $2 million per contract. UFA forward David Krejci, 1 year at $1 million. UFA forward Tomas Nosek, a 2-year, $1.2 million. RFA forward Trent Frederick, is a 3-year, $2.2 million. On the defense, it's UFA defenseman Connor Clifton, 2-year, $1.7 per. And UFA defenseman Dmitry Orlov, this one kind of blew my mind a little bit, a 5-year, $6.2 million per. And Jeremy Swayman is an RFA goaltender. They're expecting him to get a 2-year, $3.7 million per season. So out of those, I wanted to ask you guys, who do you want to come back with this, with these salary cap constraints at these numbers? Because from what I can see right now, I mean, as much as I love Bergeron, if they're really projecting him to, I mean, he's also going to take a discount as well. I mean, these are just projections, of course, but I don't know, that $5.2 million per for Bertuzzi, Hathaway at 4 years. I like the Frederick deal. It's a 3-year, $2.2 million. Connor Clifton, I'm sorry. I don't see him coming back. Orlov at that number in term. I'm not sure if the Bruins can afford him. Jeremy Swayman, another one. I had him at $2 million, $2.5 million. These guys have him at $3.7 million. And another website, I'm not sure what the name was, had him at $4.7 million. So, which it's crazy. But some thoughts on those numbers? I just wanted to throw it out there because I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say that's an insane amount of money for Orlov. For all I care, he is not worth that to me. Honestly, he's worth so much less. And I don't mean that like he sucks and he's awful, because he's good, obviously. But his age, that amount of money, so not worth it to me. So that's one that's immediately out. I want Bertuzzi so bad, but that's also an insane amount of money. I love the Frederick deal. The Swayman one, that does also surprise me. That seems high to me. I would like to keep Hathaway, but 4-year, $2 million is sort of it's not the worst thing I've ever heard. I don't know if I would do it. But yeah. And in terms of like the Cliftons, the Noseks, that's high for Bergeron. I agree as well. But at least like those players that were sort of not fringe players, like they clearly got minutes and they were important to the team's success, but who were not, you know, nobody's putting Noshek up for the heart. Like that's just not, you know, what's happening. So those sort of fringe ones, maybe those are easy ones that we can strip and get rid of that and make room, and not take those on. But I don't know. To keep the individuals we added at the trade deadline, those are expensive projections. That's a lot of money. And as much as I want to keep all of them, like that's just, there's no realm of possibility where that happens. So I don't know. I don't love a lot of those for us and our terrible space issue. But I don't know. Some of them aren't so bad. I agree. The Frederick one I'd do in a heartbeat. I really like Trent Frederick. I hope he sticks around. So at least that one I'm for.
Yeah. I mean, we got to remember, it only takes one stupid GM to overpay. Right. And like, I think that a lot of these are either overpayments or underpayments. I mean, Connor Clifton's going to get more than 1.7. Somebody out there is going to offer that guy more than 1.7. Somebody out there might be dumb enough to give Dmitry Orlov $7 million. It might not be a 5-year deal. It might be a $2 or $3 million deal, but somebody's going to do it. You know, when you look at guys like Foligno and Nosek, I mean, I would rather save the whatever $2.3 million and go with Beechers and Laukos and Kopanins. And like, that's why we have these guys. So, yep. You know, I don't want to pay Tomas Nosek 1.2 for 2 years. I don't want to do it. I really don't want to pay David Krejci another $1 million for 1 year. I don't want to do that. I want more Frederick and Charlie Coyle and more Pavel Zacha than I do another year of David Krejci. I do. So, you know, I don't even mind Hathaway for a 4 year. I would rather have length with him than money. I mean, I just keep that one position, that fourth line right winger there for the next 4 years. I like that idea. But no, if I'm spending money, I would rather be saving that money on Nosek, Clifton, Orlov, Foligno. Let's take all that money, pool it together, and pay Tyler Bertuzzi. Like, that's what I would, yeah, that's what I would rather do. And, you know, again, Frederick, if I'm Frederick, I want more than 2.2 million. I mean, that seems low. And I know he's an RFA, but he can hold out and, you know, he can go that route, you know, arbitration and stuff like that. I mean, I would do that if I was him. So I don't know. It is interesting. And I know you guys, and again, money to me, I can't wrap my head around it. My wife pays our bills because I can't do it. Swayman at four to me sounds legit. I mean, you're number one goalie for $4 million. That's not, that doesn't seem to break the bank for me, but you guys seem to think it's an overpayment.
Yeah. And a little bit, he's coming out of his entry level contract. He hasn't won a Stanley Cup playoff round yet. So there's questions with him as well on how he can play during the pressure, because we've only seen him a couple times in the past 2 years. But going back to the numbers, and I know the migraine's coming, Steve, but the Bruins currently have $38.1 million in forward contracts, $30 million in defensive contracts, and $5 million in Linus Ullmark's contract committed to the upcoming 2023-24 regular season. That, in my Amesbury math, which is never trusted, that's $73.1 million with about $10.4 million to consider. With the 10 contracts that Sweeney and Evan Gold have to mastermind to be compliant by next year. So 10.4 minus 4.5, we are not left with a lot to even bring back guys at some of these numbers. These projections are going, like, to me, I don't know. I'm going to get hammered for this because there's a goalie hug. I'm going to get hammered. I know that. But this one makes me wonder if Jeremy Swayman and his camp are coming out swinging. I don't know if Ullmark is the right guy to go now, you know? So if Jeremy Swayman comes out and says, his staff that he has, his agent and so on, they say we want $5 million for 2 years. That's going to put the Bruins in a very awkward situation, you know? And I think that those negotiations are probably going to happen after to July 1st. So the draft is now gone. You can't move him for capital unless you move him for capital the next summer. So we're not really doing anything with that this year when we actually need to find a way to make moves and get back into, like, at least a second round of the draft. I'm not saying the first round, but I think that Jeremy Swayman is the type of guy with a sweetener that could bring you back into that first round. That's just my opinion though. But there's a lot of different projections on these websites that have me just thinking, like, you know, like I said, I'm not the math guy, but still, it's like with all the things that Evan Gold and Sweeney have to do this summer, just some things don't make sense at all to even retain. It's like I'm not on board with bringing Nosek back. I'm not on board with bringing Krejci back or anything like that. Bergeron, that's your ultimate leader. You know, that's your dying king right now. You have to do whatever you have to do to get him in there. But also, I'm still on board with, if he sells you he's hurt, don't play him.
Right.
That's it. Right. Stop playing injured players. I'm freaking tired of that. We need to learn a lesson this year, this offseason. This is the lesson time. And next time somebody says, I have a half an arm, I can still go out there, that's when you say no. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. No, I think it would be just nice for Swayman for them to finally say, we're done dicking around with the goaltenders. We're not bringing back Tuukka Rask for, we're not doing a song and dance with it. You're the guy. You're the guy. Yeah. Here's you're the guy money. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Let's pay you like you're the guy because you're the guy and you're going. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at least you are showing that you're ready to make a guy the guy, as opposed to this other stuff.
It's also a confidence builder for him. That lies trust in between the organization and the player. You know, I mean, well said.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we do have, don't forget, we do have a listener hotline as well, 978-504-2727. You can also hit up any of us on social media, hashtag AskBNG. And since it is the last episode of the month of May, we are giving away a jersey courtesy of our Patreon account, which, of course, you can look us up and have an opportunity to win some pretty cool stuff. We are giving away a sweet jersey that has been spell checked. We do know that the last name is spelled correctly. And Mark, what do you have for us with that?
Grizzlick. I think it's all, see the G and the Z. It's all set. This is a Matt Grizzlick hand signed jersey from Boston Sports and Music Memorabilia, our friend over there at Bruce Sullivan, where I buy all these jerseys. So the Patreon account is $1 per episode. And this jersey goes to my friend Casey out in California. So congratulations, Casey, on winning this tremendous jersey, hand-signed and fully authenticated by JSA. So it's $1 per episode, and we take half of that dollar, pay the bills here at the BNG Sports Media Company, but we also take the other half and buy in those jerseys. And another reminder that the jerseys are just going to get better. Not saying anything bad about Matt Grizzlick, but for June, it's Adam McQuaid, you know? So get involved in this, and then July, it's Sean Thornton, one of the biggest badasses in Boston history. So they're hand signed, they're totally legit, and how could you go wrong with just a dollar per episode? We're gonna record probably 4 episodes a month, maybe 6. Who knows? Might be some bonus episodes in there and so on. But still, it's a small investment to spice up the fan cave, because you don't want that bleed green. You don't want the Red Sox. You don't want the stupid Patriots. You want black and gold. You want to impress your friends? Black and gold, everything. Go outside and black and gold your house. Put the trim white, black shutters, gold windows, whatever.
My mouse is Patriots.
So no, I'm kidding about the other sports, not really, but still. But sign up. It's really easy to do, and it helps us out, and it helps you out, and we love giving away some really cool stuff too.
Well, this is great. I mean, considering that it's the off season and there's not always, sometimes you gotta, you know, dig for stuff to talk about, but this was great. I don't think we dug too hard. I think we covered a lot of ground and a little bit of optimism for Bruins fans. Yes. Out there. I think there's a lot to look forward to the next year or so. And again, let's go Florida Panthers, just to keep those that weird looking Madden cover esque curse alive. Hopefully next year will be the year. And yes. Of course, as always, big thank you to FanDuel.com, the official sponsor of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Remember, at FanDuel.com/Boston, you can sign up and claim your no sweat first bet for $1,000. So big thank you to FanDuel. Grace, Mark, this has been a blast. Grace, stay away from the fleas as best you can.
Jesus.
I'm going to have to start calling you flea bag out there, you know. But Mark, thanks again. Happy Memorial Day as well to everybody out there. We really appreciate your service and all those that have served and aren't with us anymore. We greatly appreciate all they've done for us to be able to do this, quite frankly.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be back next week. We'll be digging some more topics up. I'm sure I'll be busy all week. So, we're going to be doing these every week to help our fans and listeners pass the time of this long-ass off season. And, you know, hopefully that these provide a little bit of closure between now and October. But, it's great working with you both. I'm thoroughly impressed with the addition of Grace and the many places that she reports from. So I'm looking forward to many more weeks like this of optimistic Bruins thoughts.
And who knows where Grace will be broadcasting from tomorrow or next week. We'll have no idea. It could be the roof.
Oh, it's a surprise every time. It's so fun.
Yeah. I'm betting that you're going to be at Mirrorfield Golf Course next weekend. Awesome. That'd be kind of cool.
What happens? Who knows?
Well, thanks again to you both. Thanks for all the listeners. We really appreciate you, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for tuning in and supporting this week's episode of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please give the show a 5-star rating and write a review on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts. If you'd like to contact the show for advertising opportunities or to send us a question or topic idea we should be discussing, please send us an email to blackandgoldproductionsllc@gmail.com. Don't forget to share our program on your social media platforms with other hockey fans and follow our Twitter accounts @blackandgoldpod, @BNGProductions, @blackandgold277, and @Kevin_O'Keefe89. Also, please don't forget to check out our official blackandgoldhockey.com website where we cover the Bruins organization from the NHL level down to the prospects worldwide. Peace out.